Make yourself at home. What would you take that to mean? I mean this, they invite you into their home and they take you to a room saying, this will be a room for you to have and we just want you to make yourself at home. What would you think? What would you do, Bob? Use it as yours, okay? Use it as you get comfortable. This is being recorded. Just thought I'd add that. So, would you start if they said that to think, okay, I'll need to go make dinner, clean up the backyard, do some home repairs and maintenance here. I mean, isn't that how we make ourselves at home? Yeah. You know, some people kind of had that idea when they put these out. Make yourself, and you see, this is not of recent vintage. You notice that, right? Some of these are. Make yourself at home, clean my house. Make yourself at home, wash some clothes. Make yourself at home, clean the kitchen, make the beds, bathe the kids. Now that is being at home, right? So, is that what we would do? Would we or would it be this? The intent of being to, what did you say, Christy? Get comfortable. Relax. Settle in. Interact with us a bit. Talk with us. Right? What do you say? You'd agree, right? Yeah. That would be it. At least I think that's it. The others are humorous because they go against the grain of what that means. To make yourself at home. You know, Jesus talked about making yourself at home. In John chapter 14, Jesus talks about it. So I'd like you to turn to John chapter 14, and while I'm doing that, I'm going to set up a few chairs to get this context of John chapter 14. And I'm going to, as a matter of fact, we've done this for real and live, okay? What do you mean, set up chairs? Well, you do that all the time. But we did this for real, setting up the chairs in the upper room. That is Leonardo da Vinci's rendering of the upper room. And my dad had said, why was everybody on the same side of the table for the dinner? Well, it was picture time. Here, to see it a little clearer, this is one that has been kind of attempted to restore. That one's a little bit closer, too. We had set this up, this upper room scene. As a matter of fact, I was thinking about doing it again this year. And then I began to think, oh, spaghetti dinner coming on. And the D-bands in, I'm kind of setting this up here. This is where John would be, I think. And he would remember he leaned back on Jesus' breast and spoke to him. So there was kind of there, okay, Leonardo da Vinci style, here in the upper room. And Jesus is saying, words to him like, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go," that's the context of what he's talking about in this upper room. I go. I'm going. If I go, this is what's going to happen. And then he says to them this, John chapter 14, verse 18. "I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me, because I live. You will live also. In that day, you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them, he is the one who loves me. And he will be loved by my Father, and I will come to him and manifest myself to him." And that's when Thaddeus, well, Judas, not Iscariot. You see, Judas' name, this was Iscariot, and this one is not. This is Thaddeus, who was, as you follow the scriptures, was that Judas. And this Judas, called Thaddeus, not Iscariot, said to him, "Lord, how is it that you are going to show yourself to us and not to the world?" And Jesus responded to his question and said, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my commandments, and he will be loved by my Father, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever loves me, or whoever does not love me, will not keep my commandments. And these words are not mine, but they are the Father's that sent me." End of story. Jesus spoke about making yourself at home with God. Make yourself at home. That was his point. That was his aim. And what did he mean? Let's start cleaning up, fixing up, repairing, getting this thing in line, pounding on this, getting go more on this. No. He didn't. We kind of get to that impression. This nail isn't being driven very well. This is native lumber that I have here. I need to put a little more effort into this hammer of getting where it needs to be so I can get this house with God together like it needs to be. Make yourself at home. Doesn't mean make household repairs. It means something quite different. We're going to see that. If you haven't yet, turn with me to John chapter 14, where we see this statement, "Make yourself at home as per," Well, I think I'm going to hold that off for a moment, as per who, and we'll kind of get to that, because I want you to see who this is per, okay? So, that's where we're going. John chapter 14, verses 18 and following. What did you pick up from what Jesus said here in the upper room concerning this make yourself at home? What did you get? Did you pick up anything? Did you hear about how this is going to happen? Okay, I'll give a suggestion. Since I asked, I'll give a suggestion. What should we pick up here? This is what we should pick up. Being right at home with God is possible, not only in the sweet by and by. Praise God that exists. I'll fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away. And sometimes there's a hankering for that. True? Sometimes you have a hankering for that? Oh yeah, that's true. But this being right at home with God isn't only then, them, and then. It's us. Possible. Jesus is saying that. Jesus is pointing out that that's possible. Verse 18, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Verse 23, look what he says here. Jesus answers, if anyone loves me, we will come to him and make our home with him. That is a big possibility. And these words, he says, verse 25, these things I have spoken to you while I am still with you, while I'm still here. It's not about all then. It is while we're here. I'm still here. Okay, let me ask this. Do you see this as being what he is saying is possible here? What do you say? Yeah, this is for here. This is for now. That there's a home to be made with him. Where you get comfortable, relax, and enjoy. No, I've got to make this house with him. No. Come and make yourself at home with him. Okay? Same idea. Settle in. Okay, so let's talk about this then. How can you possibly be at home with God? How can I possibly be at home with God? I get the idea of heaven. I mean, do you know that according to the revelation of God, heaven is being present with God? That's the big thing. Do you realize that? Heaven are not only streets of gold and this wonderful fountain in this glorious city, which we know is cubic and well, we've got a vivid description of it, and I don't want to go on a detailed description now. But the big thing, in this completely transparent house, clear as glass, gold and hewn, is that God is there. And the Lamb is there. And we'll never be separated from him again. Nor will we want to. That's the big thing. Okay, that's heaven. But how can I possibly be at home with him now? Okay, let's talk about that. Grasp what Jesus is talking about here. We've already kind of laid the foundation of this when we gave the story. He's going away. Don't let your heart be troubled. Trust God. Trust in me. There's a house. I'm going there, and I'm going away. They have questions on their prayers. Verse 5 and following, where are you going? We don't know the way. Verse 5, Jesus answers that. Philip says, show us the Father, and it's enough to us. Jesus answers that. They have questions, and he answers that, and then he tells them this, extreme importance here. He tells them, beginning at verse 16, in his going away, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Here he is, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you, and he will be in you. Woo! There it is. It's possible. It's possible by the presence of the Holy Spirit with you and in you. It is possible. It is possible. Listen, not only is it possible, it is reality, because this is what Jesus is saying for the followers, for the believers. The world can't see him. The world doesn't know him. The whole concept of being born again is kind of quaint. But the reality of it is distant from them, because it's born of the Spirit. It is born of God. It is a unique, distinct, different change that comes inside than you have ever known before. As a matter of fact, it's so different that Jesus said, you must finish that. You must be born again, born from above, born of the Spirit, born of God. You've got to be. You've got to be. You've got to be. And being at home with him then involves the presence of the Spirit with you and in you. Now, the reality of this thing is known to everyone who's experienced it. The world can't know him, but you know him. The reality, the knowing by experience of this belongs to those who have been born of the Spirit. I remember my brother, after I started talking to him about the Lord, He was watching a program in which somebody was on giving a testimony talking about being born of the Spirit. And as he heard that, he said, if that can really happen, if it really can, I'd like to see it happen to me. Hey, you know, if that's where you are, if this thing of being born of the Spirit isn't something that's in your conscious experience from life, if it's not something that you've known by experience, you say that same thing to God. If that can really happen, I'd like to see it happen to me. The next day, I came by and was talking to him again and gave him a little booklet here. A little booklet about God's Christ and the coming Antichrist in the world. And he sat down and he said he was reading through it, and all of a sudden, he saw himself in regards to the choices of sin and its preference over the knowledge and presence of God with him. He came convicted when he owned his sin. He was able to own a Savior because he saw his need. Born again. How does it happen? Well, it's like the wind. It just kind of blows in, makes its impact. Sees the change, sees the movement. But I don't see the wind. just, it's a fact. That's how it is. That's how it is. It's possible by being born of the Spirit. You know, those who are outside of Christ do have an opportunity to have the Spirit with them when they come to the fellowship of the body. And they see a life and a way that's different than what they know. It's different than what they experience. I mean, church is kind of like life over here, and here's my life over here, and these two don't connect very well. Let me tell you, that coming to church and the presence of the truth and the love and the fellowship, that's manifestation of the Spirit. I remember that experience. Kent State University, I went into a group of Christians on campus, and I remember going in there and hearing them talk, and it's like, these people care about each other. And I heard the scriptures and the nature of the scriptures and what it was doing for them and framing and focusing their life. And that wasn't my life. Hey, if you come here and this thing is like really different than the context of your life, realize this. You have the Spirit with you, but He can be in you. He can be. It's possible. You know, when I look through the Old Testament passages, it's amazing how many people had the Spirit come on them over and over. Moses and Othniel and Samson and Baal, or excuse me, Balaam. And over, it talks about the Spirit came on them and the Spirit came on them. Even on Saul, when he was in disobedience to God, he sent three groups of people to kind of stop an operation, but the Spirit of the Lord came on him, and they had to agree with what God was saying. And they said, this is weird. Is Saul now prophesying for God when he's against him? Yeah, you see, it was the Spirit that came on him. And the Spirit's was able to adjust him. If you'd like to see these, I'll leave them up here. It's amazing. But the difference is, we have the opportunity not to have only the Spirit with us. But what did Jesus say? He dwells with you. And verse 17, He will be future. This is coming. He will be in. His Spirit actually resides in us. It's an amazing idea. That's why it's possible. That's why it's possible. The scriptures say this, now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Point. You can't know these things without the Spirit. Because, he goes on, these things we also speak, not in words of man's wisdom, not the words man's wisdom teaches, but with the Holy Spirit teaches. That, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. He goes on, these things we speak, the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Quaint. Nice things to hope for. Reality? Not there. Where I live? That's the natural man. He doesn't receive the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness to him. Nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But when you have the Spirit, we have this. But we have the mind of Christ. We are changed from the inside out, so the thinking that Jesus has becomes ours through the Spirit of God, and we grow in this. In wisdom, stature, favor with God. And, well, some men. Not all. Some. That's what we've received. That's what God says we've received. And that is why this thing is possible. because the Spirit is with you in His presence and in you. So being at home is possible. And not only that, it's possible by what Jesus says because of Jesus Christ's experience for you. He takes it up here. He says, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. He's coming to us. Yet a little while, verse 19, and the world will see me no more. What was he talking about? What was he talking about? He's sitting in the upper room. His disciples are, you know where he's going at the end of this day? Do you know where he's going? When he's in the upper room, do you know where he's going? He's going to a garden. And what's going to happen in that garden? He's going to be arrested. And after the arrest, where is he going? He's going to court. And what's it going to be found out in court in this rush to judgment? Guilty. And what's his sentence going to be? And how long are they going to wait? It's coming down tomorrow. You think that was a rush to judgment? That was a rush to judgment. And so he says, there's a little while. There's a little while here. And the world will see me no more. But you, you'll see me. You know what he's talking about? He's talking about his living after he dies. He's going away. He's going to die. I'm not leaving you as orphans. I'm going to come to you. I'm going to die and be gone, and the world won't see me, but you'll see me. And he says, verse number 19, because I live, you will live also. What a tremendous hope. Now, hope doesn't mean hope so in the scriptures. You know that? It's not like, oh, I hope I get a Corvette for Christmas this year. I hope so. I hope so. You know how possible that is? Hey, I'm sure, would it be the will of God? Not a hope so. It's an anticipation. Because I live, you will live also. Verse 20, in that day, you will know. What day? The day they see him in the resurrection. In that day, when they see him, they will know that there's something distinctively different about this guy. I mean, they kind of picked it up already since he healed the sick and made the blind see and raised the dead. And now, when he gets killed by a Shanghai deal, they're going to see him again. And in their day, you're going to get the picture that I am in God the Father. That's how this happens. And you are in me, and I am in you. I want you to know that is spiritual truth. It is the truth about the spirit of people and the spirit of God. It all happened because of the Spirit of God. He's alive. He's alive. The rest of this truth follows suit. Now, I and you and me, we may be one. It's the truth. So, it's possible because of the Spirit's presence. It's possible because of Jesus' experience of his death. He died once for sin, for all. His burial and his resurrection, raised from the dead by the power of the Spirit, because it couldn't hold him. Ultimately, this is possible. And I'm going to lay this out to you as being the most singular, solo, and ultimate reason It's possible because somebody wants it. It's possible for no other primary reason than this singular solo one. Because God the Father wants it so. Did you hear that? Here's why. Ultimately, God the Father wants it. That is the solo, singular string, the thread this hangs on. Here, let me show you. Jesus says, "Whoever has my commands and keeps them, it is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." Jesus introduces the Father. Here it is. The one who is in on this, the one who is in on this, will be loved by my Father, and we will come to him, and we will show ourselves to him. When? In the experience of their life, as they're going on, he'll show it. He'll show it. They'll see it. They'll know it. Let me give you a couple of passages here to hang your hat on with this, as we're seeing this ultimate reason. In the book of Romans, chapter 11, verse 3, after describing what God does, the Apostle Paul says this: "For from you," you can say this with me as soon as you pick up on it, "for from you and through you and to you are all things. To God the Father be glory forever and ever. Amen." That's what he says. So be that. It's the will of God. It is solely, singular, and only because God the Father wants it that there is all the things that we know. The spiritual ones too. Well, yeah, of course. God is spirit. Listen to this one. Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. "For by your will, all things exist and were created." Revelation 4, 11. Here's what it is. Get this. Understand this. Grasp this. It is only because God wants it that we are here and we experience what we experience. Period. Physically, financially, spiritually. What do you say? What do you say? Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Revelation 4:11. And here is one. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30. "By God's doing are you in Christ, who has become to you wisdom from God, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption." God's will has brought you to being saved. God's will. We could spend a lot of time on this, but I think we got it, right? We got it? Do we have it? Do you have it? That the only thing that causes you to exist, the only thing that allows you to be saved, the only thing that makes you at home with God is that God wants it. Period. And because God wants it, he sent the Son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him, can you say this? Should not perish, but have Yeah, that's it. It's the will of God. God loved, and that's why He did it. God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world should be rescued through Him. That's the verse that follows John 3:16, the well-known one. That one isn't so well-known. It's the rescue, because God wants it in love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the satisfying payment for our sin. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 10, He loved us. Do you see how this thing all hangs from the want of God? God wants to love. God wants to, so He sent His Son in the experience of dying. And the Son and the Father together sent the Spirit. Look at what He said again in verse 16. And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper to be with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world can't receive because it neither knows Him or sees Him, but you know Him, and He dwells with you, and He will be in you. This is all possible because God wants, and God wills, and God loves. Hey, make yourself at home, okay? Make yourself at home. Drive that nail that's not going to. Fix that leaking pipe. Clean up that backyard. Get this dinner fixed. Buy some groceries. Come on, let's make this a home. And that's what we think. And God is saying, come in and be at home. Would you? Be at home. Folks, what nails do we have to drive? What things do we have to get it together before we really make this life with God something we experience? All right, let me ask you this. What do you think about this all being based on God's love? What do you think about this all being based on God's want? And not on you driving that nail, fixing that backyard, cleaning up those dishes, getting that meal fixed, buying those groceries, and making this a home with Him. What do you think about that? What do you think about that?
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes. Here. I want you to do this. I want you to relax. Turn in your Bible with me. To hear the voice of God in Romans chapter 8. In this, He talks about God's working everything in your life for good. Everything. That God has set this up beforehand. God is working it. He's predestined it. He's determined it. He's glorified you. He's justified you. He's got a done deal here. Okay? And in Romans chapter 8, He asks this question. Now, what do you think? What do you say to this? Look with me. Romans chapter 8, verse 31, He says this. What then shall we say to these things? What are we going to say? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but the experience of His Son made it possible. He gave Him up for us all. How will He not also with Him graciously, freely, inexpensively? No, freely, graciously. No, with work. No, graciously. No, I got a drug. No. Graciously. Give us all. Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who's going to condemn this? Me? I'll condemn me. Oh, yeah, we do. I'll condemn me. Who is going to get by with condemning you? Christ Jesus is the one who died more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who is indeed interceding for us. Who shall separate us from this love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? Shall hard times or internal distress or somebody getting down on your case or not having enough money to cover things or not getting the clothes that I want or being in a perilous situation, shall that do it? No, you'll go through that. Because it says God is leading us and we, like our sheep, are going to a slaughter. But no, this isn't going to change a thing. In all these things, verse 37, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers nor things present nor things to come. Hey, let me ask you a question. What can you experience outside of something that is present or something that is to come? What can you go through other than something that is right now or something that is coming up? I'm persuaded. I'm sure. Not things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor heights, nor depths, nor presidents, nor dips in the economy, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Do we get that? That is it. That is it. Solo. Period. It is never dependent on you. It never will depend on you. No matter what you do, will it ever depend on you? Because if it did, woo, nam manica, would we be out of it? That's a little Latin I threw in from. Thought I'd make it religious, I guess. Latin isn't used anywhere else. Not used much there either. It's not dependent on you. What a tremendous thing. Get at home. Come on. Be at home. That's how it's possible. The Spirit, the Son, the Father, the Spirit's presence, the Son's work, the Father's will. And how can this come to be in your life? How can it come to be that you have this at home with God? How can it be? Well, here's where the clean, fix, repair comes in. Right? That nail's not being driven very hard. I got to work on it harder. I got to make this house work. And let me tell you this in one word. No. Say this with me. No. Say it with me. Okay, we'll do it together. One, two, three. No. Follow Jesus on this instead, okay? That's what we are called to be, followers of Jesus. Follow Jesus on this. Instead of what comes up, instead of looking at your performance as poor as it is, as good as it is in your eyes, look to Jesus here. Okay? We're going to do that? Okay, this is what he says. The question comes from Thaddeus, sitting right there in the upper room. He says, Judas, not Iscariot, and I think I've already gone through that, that you identified by tracing it through that he was actually this Judas, and they didn't want to use the name because of the betrayer. As a matter of fact, they always identify this isn't the betrayer. Even here, when they identify him as Judas, not Iscariot, it's Thaddeus. So Thaddeus said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? How is it that we get in on this as your followers? How does that happen? How is that? Good question. Ready for the answer? Here's the answer. If anyone loves me, he will keep my commandments. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him, and we will make our home with him. We, Spirit, present, Son, experience, here, not as orphans, the Father, by will, loving, and we come. And we settle down and live at home with him. It comes from this. Do you see it? It comes from love. That's what it comes from. If anyone loves me, I remember talking to one guy, and he said, you know, loving God, I can't love him like I love my wife. Well, yeah, gee, I guess so. I mean, compared to your wife, it's like you hate her compared to your love for him. That kind of opens some eyes. It's like, look what he's done. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us. And he sent his son. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love. It's a response. God chose to love us. And when we see this and see what he's done, is he worthy of it? Oh, yeah, man, that's worship. When you see that he is worthy of this, and you choose to act towards him what he wants. You obey him. Okay, I got a hammer on this obeying. No. The obeying comes from the love. It's love. You know, I was growing up, I had some opportunities to do some things that were against the law. And they were right present in my face. How old are you anyway? 21. They were present. And you know, I thought about, if I do this, and this happens, I am going to so hurt my mom and my dad. And I don't think so. I don't think so. What stopped me? Was it the law? They brought the consequences. It's what it did to them. You know, I was a sinner. I could see that somebody acted on my behalf. And they did it over and over and over at a cost to themselves. And it affected me to choose. God has some things that he wants. Tells you. Could force you. But he tells you. Out of love. Go with what he wants. Can I tell you? That is the grand demonstration that you really love God. This thing isn't a matter of law, and I'm going to smash you. Oh, it will for those outside of Christ. It will. But in Christ, when you really see what God has done and who he is, it's like, I want what you want. Oh, some days I don't. You know what I do? I say, I know this path, this is what you want, this is what I want, and I know this one is misery and destruction is in their path, and the way of peace they have not known, and that's what I will be, and I don't want that. I want what you want. Sometimes it's gut-wrenching because I want it so bad. As a matter of fact, so gut-wrenching that sometimes I've done it, and you know what? When you've done it, I really didn't want this. I really didn't want this. This is like muck in my mouth. He knows the plans he has for you. Plans for good and not for evil. His for you, his love. He so loved that he gave his son. He didn't send his son to judge, but to rescue. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love. And yours for him and the Son. That's how this works. Seen by wanting to do what he wants. Okay, wrap up time. And so. Possible? Yep. Can it experience? Yep. Where does it come from? Love. Your love. You act in love. You act in love. You act in love. Towards him. Towards other people. That's really what he wanted anyway, all along. That's what this is all about. Could command it. Could force it. We'll bring it to pass. Iron rule. We'll cause it to happen. But right now, it's a spirit and Christ and his love that appeals to you. So you, what do we do with this? Well, let's do this. Make yourself at home. As per who? Who's been telling us this? Jesus. But do you notice what he says at the end of this? Verse number 24, last statement. And the word you hear is not mine, but it's the Father who sent me. It's what God said. This is what God said. What we talked about this morning is what God said. So what should we say? As per who? Jesus? Yeah. God, the Father? Yeah. Well, it's by the Spirit that we experience it. Yeah, okay, let's do this. Let's do it this way. That's too fast. Well, I knew this was ending. Time's up. As per the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. Oh, Lord, we come to you, and I just acknowledge before you that we so want to make ourselves worthy of this. We so want to be the ones who earned it, that we're driving the nail, that we're fixing the house, that we're making it so that, yeah, this is it. Now God can get with me. And it's you coming. And it's you. It's you making yourself at home. And our job is just to love you. Oh, Lord, come. Let us